I think that we have a lot of people that have experienced a lot of hard things in their life. And abortion, it seemed to be a gift to them. That's what it appeared to be. A gift to free them from their uncomfortableness, free them from their pain. But it is not. It's a placebo. It does not change what happened to you. It doesn't fix anything. All you do is compound the situation with creating the loss of a life.
Wow. Whenever you hear that song, Kingdom, by my good friend over here, Mr. Marcus right there, he recorded that whole thing. That sounds pretty good. You know, next time you record something like that, first of all, I definitely want to play the drums.
live drums.
Yeah,
always
man.
The best.
I always look at electronic drums and I say, you're never going to take my spot, okay? No, and I'm not a singer, but if it's a rap song, if there's any rapping going on, I want to be the guy that says, yo.
Yo.
Yo. I heard the yo in there, okay? I can do that. Hey, well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you're joining us again, okay? By the way, my name is Roy Resto.
My name is Marcus Martin.
I am Salt.
And I am Pepper.
Welcome to the Salt and Pepper Show. Woohoo!
That's not the name, but...
No, it's not the name. So what's the name of our show?
The God Class Podcast. And I said it slow because otherwise I would have ruined it.
That's right. And I'm glad you said it because it's a tongue twister for me. Actually, it really is. Hey, well, listen, thank you for coming back. Our last show was on whether Christians should drink or not. If you didn't have the opportunity to see that, please make every opportunity to tune into that. I think you'll be blessed by it. And before that, what was the one before that? Our very first show was...
Is sex outside marriage a sin? Right. I'm sorry.
Right, right.
Blankety blank blank.
No, so that was, is sex before marriage really a sin?
Really a sin, yeah.
Yeah. So that, the bibliography of all of our shows up to this point. So let's get started. So Mr. Marcus, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about the subject of abortion. It's a really, really major subject. It's a really sensitive topic that we wanted to discuss. We will not be political at all in this discussion. We will be very biblical. And so just wanting to discuss the nuances of abortion and what the Bible says directly or indirectly about it. So Roy has some things that he wants to share, and we're going to let him start off with that.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for the political aspect of this. The topic has been so politicized, and Pastor Marcus and I were busy practicing the word politicalization.
Politicalization.
Politicalization. Okay.
Yeah, got it.
If there has been a topic subject to that, this is it. And the problem with politicalization of any topic is that people get emotionally involved in it, and it detracts from a calm review, a neutral review of the topic. So what we want to do here is, just like Marcus said a moment ago, we want to go over this and speak about some very practical issues and some historical things that we're going to share with you here shortly.
All right. So I think one of the most important things to do is to establish whether or not a child in the womb is a human being, right? You probably say that's simple, right? That's simple to
establish. We say that today.
Right. Yeah. We say that today, that's a simple thing to establish. But according to scripture, I wanted to kind of establish some things. I'll probably have them put these scriptures up on the page. That way we don't have to read every one of them. But Genesis 1 and 26 says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So there's, when in creation, we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So with creation, we're not talking about an adult life. We're talking about in the forming and in the creation of man, we are given some likenesses of God. So in order for us to be given the likeness of God, there has to be a quality of knowing or humanity to us. Psalms 139, you knit me in my mother's womb.
Oh, that's a good one.
You are already in connection with God. There is already some knitting taking place. There's already some interaction between you and God in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5, God knows us before he forms us in the womb. Even before you were in your mother's womb, he told Jeremiah, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nation. So before the baby is in the womb, he's already a prophet. She's already a prophet. So there's a designation on their life before they even enter the womb. Psalms 106 and 1 Kings 21, it condemns the sacrifice of children. So it's the same concept. We have to understand that God sees this in a very clear way. He sees it in a very clear way. We are not here to condemn anyone. And as a matter of fact, in the end, we're going to offer prayer because God forgives all sins.
It's very important to establish Absolutely. That right now, by the way. And excuse me for interrupting you, okay? But, you know, in past episodes, you've heard us talking about how God has delivered us from certain things that were out of control in our lives, from sins and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I want to make clear right now that if you as a male, you have encouraged this with your mate or a female has had this done, we are not condemning you at all.
No.
You have the opportunity for any sin to repent from that. So we need to establish that, okay? You are not to carry that burden with you, especially if you know the Lord.
Absolutely. And talking with different women, I was given some questions, right? And talking to certain women, they said, what if there is a situation of incest, right? Why would a woman have to be forced to have a child by her father or by her brother or by someone who took advantage of them? Even in a situation of rape, why would a woman have to be forced to have a child by someone who took advantage of them? And this is a very compelling argument. You know, this is a very compelling argument, but we are not into getting into the argument. We're getting to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Is this child a person? If this child is a person, then this child should not be killed. It is murder. And so I know it's difficult. Me as a father, I've experienced things in my life with my own daughters that made me very angry that I wish never happened to them. And so on that side, I probably would be in the same page, in all honesty, I would be in the same page with those questions. I would say, God, do you expect? What do you think about that, Roy?
Oh, wow.
It's a heavy question.
You said some heavy things.
Yeah.
You said some heavy things there for sure. We tend to focus on the negative aspects of abortion from a woman's point of view, but a lot of it is on the men, okay? A lot of it's on the men. What I mean by that, okay? One of the things about a fatherhood, maybe we'll talk about fatherhood in a different segment, you know? In my opinion, one of the reasons why fatherhood has been diminished so much in today's society is a lot of guys, they say, you know what? I made a mistake. I was lustful in bed. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Now she's pregnant. And it's the guy that mm-hmm. tells the woman, says, I'm not ready to be a father. You true. Need to get an abortion.
Yeah, true in most cases. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's not put it all on the women. Okay, so I have to agree with you on that. You know, one of the things I want to share personally is, I haven't shared it with you so far, but, you know, I was adopted, all right? So my mother carried me all the way to, you know, delivery. I was put up immediately into, a foster home, you know, and immediately after that, I was adopted. And it's a long story, okay? Other than I'm here to tell you that went for me personally, if abortion had been as popular when I was born, okay, I may not be here talking to you.
Yeah.
You may not be my friend. I may not be your friend.
Absolutely.
Okay, because of that.
Absolutely.
And you know, so from that point of view, I am not a supporter in any way of abortion from the practical point of view.
Yeah. And if you look up, if you do your research and look up some of the most profound and most important people in this world, they could have been aborted. There's a lot of people that could have been aborted that have done some major things for this world, this United States. So, no, I get where you're coming from. It's a very hard thing when you have the emotions tied to the act of the pregnancy how it happened. But, you know, when you look at it from the aspect of you never know who you could be aborting.
Next president, next inventor of the cure for cancer, somebody that's going to be a wonderful family member, whatever. Yeah. Yep, I agree with that.
There's another aspect, too, that I was hearing from different women. Them having to revisit the rape or the incest or the event that happened to them because of the existence of the child. And I really feel for them in that aspect because, you know, how do you forget when you have a living human being that represents that? Well, I could tell you how. You stop viewing them through the eyes of rape. You stop view them for who they are and not for how they got here. I'm a speaker and I preach at a lot of places. And so I don't think anybody, when I get up to preach, cares about how I got there. I don't think nobody say, how was your flight? You know, was the peanuts good? I don't think anybody cares how I got there. All they care about is what I came to deliver.
There you go.
And I think there's a lot of people here that God sent in this earth to deliver something. And I think we have to look at the importance of what they came to bring and not how they got here.
Oh my gosh. That's really good. That's really good. Well, listen, I'm going to introduce something over here, and this is going to take me a little while to speak about, okay? And you don't hear very much about this, but have you ever heard of a woman called Margaret Sanger? Okay. A lot of people have not heard of her. She's considered the founder of Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
Now, Planned Parenthood has become the poster child for big proponent of abortions. And so they become like the poster child and a big target for people that are anti-abortionists. Okay. So I'm not here to get into the political aspects of that. Not for sure. But we need to talk about this woman, Margaret Sanger.
Okay.
Okay. Now, over 100 years ago, when she was very active.
Okay.
In promoting birth control.
Okay.
By whatever birth control there was when she was active. But she was very active in promoting birth control.
Okay.
Now, there's some aspects about Margaret Sanger. Now, first of all, she was the founder of Parenthood. There's some aspects about this woman that were interesting and that a lot of people debate. There's some things that are not debatable about Margaret Sanger when you read her literature. For example, she was a leading advocate of eugenics. Eugenics being E-U-G-E-N-I-C-S, eugenics. You know what eugenics is?
I don't, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, and you don't want to hear about it, okay? So Sanger was a leading advocate of the eugenics movement, specifically of negative eugenics, which promoted the reduction of sexual reproduction and sterilization of people with undesirable traits or economic conditions. That's what eugenics is. Eugenics would say, if you're born mentally retarded, you need to be put out of your misery. You know, that's eugenics. The last time eugenics was really popular was with the Nazis in Germany.
I was just going to say that. That sounds like the same thing when they tried to exterminate.
The fact that she was a eugenics supporter is not debatable. Now, the whole thing about sexual reproduction and birth control, okay? Well, she was a big advocate of all of that stuff. And what is debatable? Now, there's some people that say she was a racist.
Wow.
Okay. Now, racism was prevalent over 100 years ago.
Of course.
A lot of people thought that way. So we got to be careful that we just don't say that she was a racist as opposed to everybody,
right,
you know, at the time.
Right.
Okay. Being a racist or having racist views. All right. So that's where a lot of the academics come in and they say, was she a racist in what she was doing or not? Okay.
Yeah. And I can see the questioning of it because if you're trying to, you know, get rid of a particular person or people that you think are not maybe viable citizens, you could argue that she would think that way about different races and different people. So yeah,
that's right. Sense. That's right. For a moment, let's give her the benefit of the doubt and say that her actions in birth control was not tied to racist things. By the way, one of the things that when people say that she was a racist, okay, when she made comments, for example, about the Aboriginals of Australia. Okay, so the Aboriginals there in Australia, they were there before whites ever got there, and they're black tribes, and she described them as, in terms of their intelligence and behaviors, as being a little bit higher than monkeys. Roy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is her saying that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And so people that say that she was a racist. Now, I'm just building up to what I'm trying to present over here, because I still got a lot to go. So a lot of people that say she was a racist would quote that saying, how can a person that says that not be a racist? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's people that say, no, she wasn't a racist. She was an advocate for birth control.
Well, I think that was a common school of thought. I don't know if that was an original thought to her, that black people were not human. We're not fully human. That was a common school of thought. I don't think it was.
So let's give her the benefit of the doubt then.
Give her the benefit of a doubt. That was not just a her thing.
She went down the road, and she is considered the mother, if you will, of the whole thing with birth control, and that led to Planned Parenthood, for example.
Okay.
All right. Now, we have to look to see what resulted from her actions.
Okay.
And whether they fit into a racist pattern or not.
Okay.
That's my question over here. And I need you guys to pay attention to this and do your own research.
All right.
Do your own research. Don't take it based on what we say here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to present some interesting stories, some interesting statistics over here that came from neutral parties. They didn't come from the left or the right or conservative or liberal. Didn't come from anywhere like that. It came from, these are sources that if you do your research, you'll be impressed with their genuineness. So let's talk about this, okay? 2022 was when Roe versus Wade was overturned, okay? So let's look at the statistics that were available at that time, okay? And the reason why I'm picking that year is because it's the last year, because since Roe versus Wade, these ensuing statistics are probably going to be a little bit different.
What is Roe versus Wade? Some of us didn't pass civics class.
Okay. Roe versus Wade, for those of you that are not aware of it, that was the court case, I want to say it was back in 1973, that established the legality of abortion. Okay? It established the legality of abortion.
Yeah. Making it okay to go in and take the life of a child that's forming. What was the age of the child in the womb? Do you know?
Okay, so it's gone. It's varied by state.
State, okay.
So it's all over the map, actually.
Got you. Okay.
Literally all over the map.
Okay.
So when I was doing the research, you see that different states allow abortions at certain terms. Some do, some don't. It's actually very interesting.
Okay.
A reflection of the state.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay, so 2022, uh-huh. All right? The U.S. population was 333 million. That's the U.S. population.
330.
Now, this is from the Census Bureau, the U.S. Census Bureau, okay? Out of those 333 million, 196 million are white. So that's 59% of the population is white.
Okay.
42 million are black. That's 13% of the population.
Okay.
All right. 63 million are Hispanic or Latino, whatever word you want to use, or 19%. That equates to 19%.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you're black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to focus on that. Okay. Now, remember, I want to answer the question, did Margaret Sanger's actions, what did it lead to? Whether you think she's a racist or not.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So also in 2022, the abortions that were being performed, do you think they were a reflection of the percentage of population? So in other words, if the population is 59% white, was it 59% abortions being
right.
performed by whites?
You would think it would be the population.
It would reflect.
The greatest population would have the most abortions.
That it would reflect that. You would think.
You would think.
Okay. If you think in statistical terms, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Hmm.
That's not the case. In 2022, 42%, not 13%, 42% of the abortions were from blacks.
42%.
That's three times the percentage of the population. The population is 13%.
Wow.
And yet that's 42% of the, of all, that's almost half. That's a little, that's less than half. 30% were white and 22% were Latino. But I'm sticking on black, okay, because of the racist connection I'm trying, that may be presenting itself here, talking about abortions, okay? So now let me bring this up a little bit more, okay? How many abortions have been, since 1973, have been performed? The total number. And this, now, this is round numbers now. Mm-hmm. What do you, any
just
guesses?
Just guess. I'll say 500,000. That's probably a low number.
Extremely low.
Wow.
Okay. The amount of abortions that have been performed since Roe versus Wade is over 65 million. 65 million. Okay. So now, I like numbers, right? So in our partnership, I'm the numbers guy, by the way.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. So I like numbers. And so I was doing this research. Do it yourself. Okay. 65 million. Now, if you take the 42%, and you're saying that 42% of the abortions are being done on blacks, okay, 42% of 65 million, you know what it comes out to? Okay, so you can almost do the math because it's almost half, right?
Yep,
a little bit less than half. Yeah. So it's 27,495,199 black babies were aborted. 27 million.
Since when?
Since 1973.
Goodness. Those are so many families.
27 million. Over 27 million. So, first of all, I'd like to point out something. Today, in today's society, you know, there's certain words that become popular and people start throwing them out like, like, you know, they don't even know what the word means, but they're using the words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I remember during the COVID thing, if you presented any academic data that said not to take the shot, for example, they instantly label you an anti-vaccine person.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
They put a label on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. That wasn't true. Okay? Here just a few years ago, okay, if you said anything about what was going on with the riots and stuff like that, if you said anything against that, okay, instantly, people calling you a racist, all right? And there's no way that people were all racist, okay? In the same, not that many. There are racists in society.
There are some.
And there are some anti-vaccine people out there.
Yeah, the people that was like, all the chicken and malt liquor is gone. All the watermelon is gone. I'm joking.
Yep, I know. Well, another word that's being thrown about is the word genocide today, okay? And people that are using that word, I want to go up to them and say, excuse me, do you know what that word means, genocide? Do you know the historical context of what that means?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, okay? So once again, I'm telling you, do your research. Don't use words or label people unless you've done your research and you know the historical context or the statistical context of what's being discussed, okay? Now, let's go back to the word genocide. If I told you around the world that 27 million people were wiped out, were killed, would you say that's genocide?
Absolutely.
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would.
Yeah.
Okay? So, for all of you using that word, you have to consider whether genocide has come upon the black people in the form of abortion.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. Now, that's going to be very controversial.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying it and I'm not backing down from that. Okay.
But you know,
okay,
I think
no, so let me just conclude, okay? So for sure, just to conclude it, and I know you're probably wanting to get into it. Was Margaret Sanger, was she a racist? I don't know if she was or not. But her actions apparently led to what somebody would say was racist. If I did that on black people, if I figured out a way that 27 million black people could would be wiped out, all right, for sure, you'd say Roy is a genocidal racist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people mm-hmm. would say that for sure. So we have to look and lay that, whether we think Margaret Sanger was or not a racist, her actions and the political things she did to make people get into this whole realm right over here, I'm going to lay it firmly at her feet that it appeared that was the result of it.
It just brings to note the machines that we have in operation that we're not aware of, right? Nobody does anything of substantial value to harm or to destroy any race of people. They never do it in one fell swoop. It's always done over a long, systematic period of time. And you could point to different other things, but this is not the conversation really that we're having. But it was very interesting to see the effect of Margaret, right?
Yeah.
Her
Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, Sanger. Like, for those of you that want to do your homework, do it. It's Sanger.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see the effects of her decisions and the things that she prompted to take place. I think it's very interesting. I didn't know that at all. So I think I'm learning with everybody else that. But to get back to the core of what we're talking about, I think that we have a lot of people that have experienced a lot of hard things in their life. And abortion seemed to be a gift to them. That's what it appeared to be, a gift to free them from their uncomfortableness, free them from their pain. But it is not, it's a placebo. It does not change what happened to you. Doesn't fix anything. All you do is compound the situation with creating the loss of a life, you know. And so I think it's sad. I think that there's certain things that's going to affect certain communities just by way of how things are set up systematically. There's just certain things that's going to affect certain communities. And I think politically we allow so much to go underneath our nose because we just don't do the research. And I'm speaking for, you know, Black people. We don't do the research. Not
that, just Black people, I guarantee you that. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Yep. But for most citizens, we just take what the television tells us and we just kind of go with it. So, yeah, I think that's a huge topic.
No, I agree. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of times, you know, somebody gets raped or mm-hmm. something like that. For anybody that's considering abortion under any circumstance, by the way, pregnancies that result from rapes, for example, or something like that, or incest, the smallest minority of abortions are for those reasons. The majority of all the abortions are typically an act of fornication, unbridled lust. It was a mistake. Okay? That's what it is. But for whatever reasons, I'm asking you, whether you're a man and you're trying to determine the mistake was made and how should I advise this woman, or you're a woman that you find yourself in that position, I'm asking you, please consider adoption. Please consider adoption. If you're thinking to yourself, I can't possibly be a mom right now.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
Put it up for adoption. And I was adopted, and I was very happy. I grew up on welfare, okay, and I had a good life. There's plenty of people that have been adopted out there that have had good lives.
And some people can't have children. There's people that'll be a dream come true.
Absolutely.
So perhaps your pain could become someone else's pleasure.
Well, Marcus, do you know that here in the United States, there's lots of people that want to adopt, and you know what they're doing?
What's that?
They're going to other countries.
Yeah, which is beyond me.
It's beyond me.
Having so many kids who need help.
Well, they're all being aborted. Okay? That's pretty cold, but those are the facts. Okay? Children can be adopted. All right? And it might be your child. And, you know, I was adopted, and I went out of my way to figure out, who my natural mom was, and I was very happy. Everything turned out okay, you know. It turned out good. My mother was not carrying a guilty burden for any of her actions after that, okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, do you have anything else to add?
I want to just state that we're not condemning anyone.
Absolutely.
And that's neither of our heart to condemn anyone of their actions. As a matter of fact, there's no sin that God won't forgive.
That's right.
And you are forgiven. And so whenever you're ready, I think we're closing unless you got some more info
wanted
to share. So let's pray. Let's pray for those who are—
Yes, we need to.
Who are maybe dealing with the guilt of abortion.
That's right.
Dealing with feeling like maybe they've let God down. Maybe they could have made a different decision. We all have decisions that we could have done differently. There's no one sin bigger than the other. So let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for every individual that is involved, that's had either done an abortion or the father of the child that's had the child aborted. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would forgive them of their sins. God, as they repent before you, Father, we pray that you would wipe their slate clean.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray, God, that you would take away the overwhelming feeling of grief and replace it with joy. God, that you would take away the mourning, God, that you would give them beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray now that you would even receive those children, God, into your loving arm that have been aborted, God, that you would receive them, because we understand that these children have a soul, that you would receive them into your loving arms, God, and that they would be represented in heaven, that we would be able to see and know that you have taken care of them well.
Yes.
And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch this world, this earth, this society, and shift the paradigm of abortion.
Yes.
Of giving up. I pray that you would help people to see a better way in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And Marcus, in case there's somebody out there that needs to know the Lord, I'm going to say a prayer to close us down. If there's anybody out there where you think you need to know the Lord better, or you need to come to the Lord to begin with, Lord, in the name of Jesus, repeat after me that, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord God, you died for me on the cross for me, Father. You shed your blood in my place, O Heavenly Father. You are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I hereby acknowledge that you are the Messiah, and I acknowledge you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Forgive my sins. My sins are hereby forgiven by my acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Messiah. In Jesus' name we just pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Until we meet again, you guys be blessed. Talk to you soon.
See
you.
Take care.
Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.